Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 26 of season 5 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Duncan Shields of Chronologically Speaking and a whole bunch of other things, but I'll let him tell you what those are.
Hello, hi there. How you doing? I'm
Yeah,
glad to be
welcome back,
back.
Duncan. Yeah, I'm glad to have you back this season. You're always a fun guest to have on, and we'll see where things go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So episode 26 begins with the camera panning along a very long cable and ends with a technofax.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah. So Friday we ended things with the we get to see the bad guys setting up a shop in the church, soon to be daycare center, probably not. And it gets cut off after we see one of the guards looking like he's snoozing at the, in the door. But then things move along, and we actually get to see a cable, and it runs along the ground. We see this cable all through the fake snow. As we've mentioned numerous times, they had so much problems with the snow in every one of their locations that they made this movie. So in just about every single place that you see snow, it is fake. I guess that's like
Oh.
cornflakes or whatever it is that they use back in 1990 to make fake snow.
Not asbestos, but they've moved beyond asbestos by 1990, so now it's probably paper or something like
Yeah,
that.
it could
Or what
be.
was that I heard? Instant mashed potatoes.
Yeah, but they need a crap load of instant mashed potatoes to fill the whole
Yeah,
area.
it's pretty cheap. I don't know. I wonder what they use these days.
Yeah.
Because it needs to have weight so it does actually stay on the ground.
That's right. And also you need to make it that it's somewhat comfortable for the people who are around it. If they're walking and
Yeah.
they're slipping and sliding when they shouldn't be, that could be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, I remember a cab driver I had once was driving me around in the winter, and he was telling me a story of the. He moved here when he was like 26 or something, and he was originally from Jamaica. And so his first Christmas here was the first time he'd ever seen snow in his life. And it was very different from what he was used to because the only snow he'd seen up to that point was snow like in It's a Wonderful Life or any kind of fake TV movie snow. So when he was here, he was like, "Whoa, it's different." It sticks to your clothes and it's like wet and it's cold. And so, yeah, I was just trying to figure out what that would be like to have not seen snow until well into your 20s and then comparing it to the fake snow you've seen in the movies. Because
Right.
it doesn't look the same, but it's kind of like you kind of just go with it.
Right. That's true. No, so I just did a quick search, and what you said is right. I mean, they use painted cereal flakes, bleached or painted cereal flakes, gypsum. They use paper. They use cotton, potato
Cotton,
flake.
potato flakes, yeah.
Yeah, and they have like these fake ge snow generators, which cause like soapy white bubbles, which disappear after a short time. So I guess that sort of makes things a little easier also if you use that. It's
Remember when
possible.
the Winter Olympics were held here in Vancouver in 2010, and the year before we'd had record snowfall that paralyzed the entire city because we don't get as much snow here as the rest of Canada. So we were like, this bodes well. And like 2009, record snowfall. 2010, no snow at all. We
Another
got like,
record. It's just a record
yeah,
the
we
other
got
way.
like zero snow in 2010. And so, but we were hosting the Winter Olympics. So we're like, there's literally no snow on the ski hills. Like, what do we do? So we had to truck in snow from Alberta and, get a bunch of snow generating machines and all this kind of stuff. It was, I think a lot of people probably lost a few nights of sleep over that. We were like, come on, last year, why?
I wonder if it affected any of the, any of the athletes.
I imagine it must have affected some of the outcomes and some of the athletes for sure.
Wow, they're like, damn, I've been training for this for years, and now I have to use, do it on trucked snow.
Yeah, trucked icy snow when I've been
Yeah.
practicing in like 5 feet of powder, and now I've got to deal with this ice rink of a ski hill. Well, yeah, seriously. They did their best.
That I'm sure they did. And then, so the camera pans along this cable, and it runs from the church all the way to the junction box that's in the backyard, I guess you can say. It like splits up into a whole bunch of different cables along the way, and we see one of the guys still trying to, I guess, open the shed in order to. It's like really weird. You'd think that he'd be trying to splice it in, but all he's doing is still trying to open it.
Yeah.
You know, they've been there a few hours. You'd think they would have already opened it by now. That would have been the first thing before you do anything else, open the shed.
Yeah.
Forget about laying the cables. Open the shed. And then the shot changes, and we see a pair of hands opening a package of Twinkies. And then we hear the phone ringing, and then we hear a voice say, Powell here. We hear John's voice on the other end, and he goes, take that Twinkie out of your mouth and grab a pencil. It goes to show he knows his friend.
Yeah, it's also, the male razzing the hey, you know, let's just open with an insult, and it's a, you know, let's just burn each other for a while. And, you know, Powell has a sensible chuckle. This right. must have been some pretty easy money for Reginald Bell Johnson here.
Yeah, because he was already, you know, in Family Matters at this point. So, you know, he could only deal with a cameo.
Because
of that.
Yeah,
because his character, it would be really crazy to have both the characters in this movie. You know, transferring from LA, but still. You know,
so he could just do like a little day call cameo thing in a cop office at his convenience to be spliced into the movie.
That's right. And apparently it worked.
Family Matters was what started in 89? I think it started in 89.
Family went to 89, yeah.
Yeah. So in this, and Die Hard 2 was 1990, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've told this story before, but I was at a taping of one of the very first episodes of Family Matters, and me and all my friends that were there were screaming, you know, what's in those Twinkies? And he got a big chuckle. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I remember I had in the movie UHF with Weird Al, mm-hmm. has a Twinkie sandwich, which is a Twinkie
with a hot dog.
With a hot dog and spray cheese, and then you dunk it in milk. And I managed to source some spray cheese, which was really hard to get. And Twinkies are kind of rare. I thought they went out of business or went under, but they're not. They're still going. And I had one, and it was underwhelming. It was exactly like you would expect, but I'm glad I sated that curiosity.
It would still be keeping you up at night after decades.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no desire to eat a hot dog with a Twinkie.
No. It's not worth the trek. But it did. Yeah, it did put that curiosity to rest. But other than that, I'm not going to seek it out again.
Yeah, I mean, Al has a very interesting statue on his desk. It looks like a baseball player. But he's holding a pen or a pencil instead of holding a bat. But he's also holding it in the wrong direction. Do you see what I'm talking about there? If you look at the second nine.
Oh, right. It's almost like
it looks like it could be that he's missing an arm.
I think he's about to throw it. Like, it looks like there's a little hippopotamus there too.
Yes, there is a little hippopotamus. Yes.
But I think he's throwing. It's like he's throwing a javelin or he's holding a giant pencil. And the kid kind of looks like it looks kind of either an old timey baseball player or a newsie. It's almost like I think he's almost got a newspaper bag down there on his hip. If Powell was a journalist, this would look like a journalism award of some kind. But I don't really know what kind.
Maybe.
But I like that it's up in the foreground. It's like that one thing I've realized during Time Bandits is you got to give depth to your shots. So have something snuggled up close to the camera, and then have something far away.
Yeah.
And then you've got yourself a shot.
That's right. They do a great job.
This is the kind of shot that would make me say, "Brought to you by Hostess Twinkies." You know,
yeah, that's true. And we see a whole bunch of like documents also on the desk there. You know, he actually puts down the Twinkie in order to pick up the phone, so that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
He doesn't continue eating. I mean, we'll get to that a little later, how he stuffs one of them in his mouth, but he's at this point he's at least putting it down, I guess, because he didn't get it open yet completely.
Yeah.
And then the shot goes back to John, and we see John next to the budget rent-a-car girl. He's talking on the phone to Al, and he's got a paper in his hand also. Remember on last week, fingerprinted Cochran.
Yeah.
But we get a shot back in the booth, and then we hear Powell chuckle, and when he knows her, he goes, "Hey, John, how you doing?" And then John responds and goes, "Holly stood me up a day, and I'm here alone in D.C. with my in-laws." He's basically commiserating the fact that he has to do that, And then we get Powell's response, "Hey, the old in-laws, huh? They do love their policeman son-in-laws." I think
Yeah,
it's a
which is
general
good.
thing. It's not just the policeman son-in-laws. They love all their son-in-laws the same way.
Well, I couldn't figure out if this was sarcasm or not.
Oh,
Like I
definitely. He's
was
being very sarcastic.
Oh, okay, because I thought there was like a flip happening, because at first I was like, in-laws, am I right? Like it's that whole it's to me it's like 1950s humor, like then my mother-in-law, the
No,
whole
no, no, no.
audience is like, ooh, and it's like everybody like the in-laws are just the worst, no matter which side of the family you come from, and no one's good enough for my daughter, and so
Right.
you're always putting up with that. But then he's like, they sure love their police son-in-laws, and I'm like, oh, so they like him?
I understand this to be complete sarcasm.
Yeah, okay.
That's my understanding of it. And then John then explains to him what he says, "Listen, Al, what's the fax machine number there at the station?" And then Al picks up a piece of paper to check to see what the number is, and goes, 555-3212.
We got a good old 555 number.
That's right. Do you know the history of the 555 numbers, how that works?
I know that it's a non-existent area code that they used for movies, so you didn't accidentally put in somebody's actual phone number. That's my understanding. Sorry, that's my understanding of it. That's.
Okay, so the 555 is a North American numbering plan code that there are obviously 10,000 numbers within that system of 555, and the it's they pretty much only use it for directory assistance. Directory assistance is whatever your area code is, and then 555-1212.
Oh,
Okay,
okay.
that's the only real number that comes from a 555 number. Okay,
Awesome.
the rest of them are fictitious telephone numbers that are used in TV shows, movies, video games, and other media in order to basically try and prevent people from playing practical jokes or just bothering people by calling their real numbers.
Yeah.
So
They've got
they
a, that's why the 8675309.
well, we're gonna get there.
He,
We're gonna get there in a second.
oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So the prefix, they started in the 1960s to use it
Oh.
as fake numbers.
Yeah.
In the movie, the second time around in 1961, they used the number 555-3485. And then a year later in 1962, there was a movie called Panic in Year Zero, which used the number 555-2106. Okay, now in TV shows, what they did was in the 70s, they started saying, Klondike Five. Because KL, that's how the you would think of it. It's 555, just to make it sound as if it's not 555. The
Oh,
way they
okay.
used to do phone numbers was you would say there were words that you would use for the first digits that you have to, instead of telling them 555, you'd say Klondike Five, so they know it's the or it's KL five, because on the
Oh,
phone,
interesting.
that's the letters that you'd use.
Ah, okay. I
Okay.
was wondering about that because in all those old movies, they're always like, call up, I don't know. Roughneck 857 or something.
Exactly,
It always
right, exactly.
it was a word and then three numbers, and I always thought that was like the region they were trying to call because they're
No, that's
talking
just
to
to
an
tell
operator.
it's just really silly. You just say the number instead of saying
Oh.
the thing. But okay, but a lot of TV shows and movies beforehand used either Q's or Z's, because neither of them are the digit are the numbers on on a
Oh,
phone.
okay.
So
Sure.
you'd hear someone say like Quincy 26 or Zebra 57 or whatever it is,
Right.
because those are not
Huh.
used on regular phone numbers, right?
Awesome.
So they
I'm look out for
designated
that.
actually the numbers 555-0100 to 555-0199. Okay, those are the numbers that can be used for fictional numbers. Now, all the rest they left for actual, people to use, but they in the end decided never to open that option.
Okay.
Okay, it's something that's used only in North America. So Gary Larson, the creator of The Far Side,
Yeah.
would use it all the time, and he would write. He had a in one of the things had graffiti with a 555 number that people could call to Satan.
Okay. Good old Gary Larson.
That's right. There used to be a whole bunch of commercials that would all use the same number, 555-2368. This is the same number that was used in the Rockford Files. That was Jim Rockford's phone number.
Yeah, one of the best opening theme songs of all time.
There you go. The Mod Squad also used it in an episode or two. And the movie that uses that same number is Ghostbusters for the commercial within the film.
We're ready to believe you.
That's right. Then the movie The Last Action Hero makes fun of the
Was
whole
gonna thought.
5x5 issue,
Yeah.
where Danny the kid says to Schwarzenegger, says, "Come on, of course it's fake. They're all 5x5 numbers." And the response was, "That's where they have area codes." So,
Yeah. Yeah, that movie was pretty high concept. I can't say it was one of my favorite movies, but the concept of it, when they go to
I rewatched it a few months ago, and it just was so much fun revisiting it
very
because
fun
of what it
movie.
does. It just makes fun of, the differences between movies, fact and fiction, I guess you can say.
Yeah, and it's almost like, everybody's getting into the multiverse these days with like the Spider-Verse and all
That's
these
right.
like, Marvel and stuff, but that was kind of a proto multiverse where you've got this cop station, this police station in the middle of every fictional universe that's ever been created. So you've got, weird cyborg women cops from the future, you've got like cartoon animal cops, like every cop that's ever been in a film.
That's right.
This is their police station, and that's pretty wild conceptually for what is supposed to be just like a Arnold Schwarzenegger action vehicle, kind of mixed with, I guess, with a dash of Purple Rose of Cairo thrown in there as well.
Yeah, but
But I'll never,
this
I
is better
love,
than Purple
yeah.
Rose.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'll never forget Charles Dance like screaming in the alley, "I have just killed somebody!"
Shut
Like just,
up.
yeah, shut up. Quiet, like he's like, "This world's great." I'm like, wow, I can do anything. That was amazing.
That's right. So, you brought up earlier about Tommy Two-Tone's song 8675309, Jenny.
Yeah.
And that actually caused a lot of problems because people would always try and call that number,
Yeah.
because
So
it is a
it's
real
you
number in
can't.
many places. So I don't think they really were getting to Jenny, but they were getting Duncan or whoever it was, the movie Bruce Almighty has a real number also, 776-2323, which caused also a lot of problems because people were constantly calling that number trying to get in, trying to find God.
Sure.
So Wilson Pickett wrote a song in 1966 called 6345789, which also caused a lot of problems with people calling it. But the best one that I found here is there's a song called 7779311, which was performed by The Time with Dez Dickerson, and it was his actual phone number, and he ended up having to change his number because so many people were calling him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's a shortcut to being, needing to change your number super quick.
so basically in 1994 they changed the law that anyone can get a 555 number if your local phone company agrees, and most phone companies do not agree. So it's very difficult to get it changed, but you can try.
If you
Theoretically.
want, if you happen to want a 555 number for some
Correct.
reason.
For some strange reason. I don't know why anybody would want that, but So I as we were talking, I just noticed something really interesting. So before we talked about the fact that Powell was opening a Twinkie and he opens the package and then puts it down when he's picking up the phone. And as he's talking and he's looking over at the fax machine to get the number, you see him then picking up a Twinkie and opening a Twinkie again. Okay.
Yeah, continuity.
So on the one hand, it could be a continuity problem. On the other hand, it could be that he just forgot that he had opened one already and now is opening a different one because he does have four in front of him. So,
yeah,
you know, we can't fault him completely on this one.
No, he's just distracted, or he likes to eat two at a time.
It could be. It could be. And, you know, so he gives over the phone number. John then relays it to the budget girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I find really funny, if in all movies, it's always going to be 555, why don't they just tell them the last four digits?
Yeah, well, that's also destroying immersion as well. You know, you got to at least pretend.
That's right. Because, like, also, he doesn't say the area code. Now, we know that he's in L.A. and John's in Washington. You know, but John doesn't even tell the girl who's sending the fax, okay, so it's area code, whatever the area code is in L.A., 555-3212. Everyone apparently knows what the area code is in L.A., which, I mean, that's, you know, common knowledge. Anyone working in the airport in Washington must know that, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, John, it's funny how John, like, makes himself at home here with this phone. You know, like, he pulls the cord over her. I mean,
this is something that, like, I want to get into at the last minute because I have some real issues with the way he just sets up camp here. At 52, a second 52 here, one of the extras in the background, one of the copious amounts of extras in the background, looks straight at the camera here. Turns this old.
Oh,
old
the guy with the mustache.
Yeah, guy with the mustache gives a quick glance to the literal camera there. Big, oh, wow. Big you extra no no.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. That's great. You know, he's like smiling at somebody and then he looks over.
Yeah.
It's a quick little glance. It's not, he's not staring. Glance. He's not staring. No. So we got to give him a little credit for that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's instinctual.
Yeah. And then, and then John says to him, I want to send you something. And then he says, excuse me, pulls the cord over her. And then Powell says to him, you in faxes, this is a first. He goes, hey, Holly told me I should wake up and spell the 90s. Which is a callback to, you know, minute five, you know, when they were talking about technology. But, you know, it's just, and then, you know, he gets into a conversation with the budget girl as to, like, which direction does it have to be? He goes, this way? And she goes, no, that way. And he goes, wait, it's upside down. She goes, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So she's being very helpful. We'll find out later this week why she's being so helpful, but she's being very helpful.
Yeah.
And you can see that the company of the fax machine that they're using is a Sanyo fax machine.
Oh, yeah, so okay. It is.
Are you familiar with Sanyo at all?
The name rings a bell. I think I've seen some Sanyo watches or calculators or something. I believe they're out of Japan, but I don't. They never sort of achieved the same heights as, like, you know, Yamaha or Sony or anything like that. Right. So
okay.
I wonder if they got absorbed or if they're still going, or I'm not sure.
Okay, so the company was founded in 1947 in Japan.
Yeah,
1947. All right. 1947. Yeah, and in 2009, Panasonic basically bought them out.
Okay.
And then eventually, 2 years later, they actually absorbed them. You know, for a few years, they were still running them as Sanyo. Now, for me, when I was going through this doing the research on Sanyo, I was looking at some of the products, and it just reminded me, I used to have like a Sanyo. Actually, I probably had a few of them. Like, I don't know if you want to call them ghetto blasters, but radios. You know, you know, back when you listened to tapes, you know, I would listen to tapes back in the late 80s, and I remember having, and it was a Sanyo boombox, I guess you could say.
Yeah. A portable personal stereo.
There you go.
I like the, that's right. I do remember them on audio equipment. I remember Sanyo on audio equipment.
Yeah. Now, do you know what the name Sanyo means? Are you, do you know Japanese at all? Whatever.
I am far from fluent.
Okay. I'm even further probably. And it actually means three oceans. What would be your guess as to why
Oh
they would call
yeah.
it three oceans?
Ichi san. Yeah, san. Yeah, san yo. Yo, eh? All right. Very piratey. Very piratey to have yo be a mean ocean.
Yes.
San
Well, they don't
yo,
say yo ho
three.
ho.
No. It's just the first. Just the first. So what do we got there? Three oceans. Three oceans. Well, I don't know. Japan's not situated at the crux of three oceans, so I don't know.
So it was referring to the their ambition to sell products worldwide across the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's good. Good little ambitious name there.
Yeah,
Your
and I mean
mission statement's in the name of your company. It's
that's right,
good.
and they managed to do it. That's what's even more amazing. I mean this was a multi-million-dollar company or a $1 billion company. That lasted for was it 70 years? That already says something about it.
That's not a failure at all. That's a very
No, six, sorry, six,
strong kick in the
six.
can.
Wait, if it was 1947, so 62 years. Okay. All right. I was close.
47 to, are you
47 to
counting to
2009.
2009? Are you going all the way? Okay.
Yeah, 2009. And that's pretty much how this minute ends. We get to see the facts being taken.
Are you going to get into the history of the fax machine, or are you going to save that for
I've already
a
done
different
that,
app?
actually. I did it.
Oh, okay.
We've already done it. And is there something you want to talk about it?
Well, I just the stuff I managed to dig up was I was deeply surprised to find that technically the first fax was sent in
1950s.
1840.
Oh, no, sorry.
18
Right. Oh, that's right.
yeah,
That's right.
1843 by Alexander Bain, but it was like syncing pendulums to draw images on a cylinder, like kind of a super primitive line matrix printer. And then 30 years later, the phone was patented. So the fax predates the phone, or like the electric phone, by a mile. Like I did not see that coming at all. And then but I mean the Kansan string phone was invented in like 1667 or something like that, because that's if you want to call that invented, but
Right.
that's the way I got. But then like the phone itself has got 19 claim and counterclaim, there was a lot of wrestling. But it was, yeah, Graham Bell who patented the actual telephone in 76. But yeah,
Yeah.
they've got all these different things that sort of wound up becoming what we know as a fax machine,
Correct.
right? Because first they needed to change range, and then telephotography, and then printing, and then wireless, and then color. And it's like a phone, but it's not a phone. It's like a phone, but it's for pictures. And you remember that bit in Almost Famous? Like, I'm going to send it to you by fax. It's super quick, 2 minutes a page, and I was like, wow. The future that we live in is amazing.
Well, come on, you and I know what it was like, trying to dial up, back in the late 80s, mid 80s.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Everybody remembers the sound that
That's right.
wee doo little 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 like.
That's right. All you have to do is watch War Games and you can hear it, over and over.
Yeah, well, people still use faxes here now, a little bit. Like some government organizations will still require a fax because they're the slowest to change, I find. But it's been a long time since I've been asked to use one. But I was asked to use one, I think, for my taxes like 2 years ago, and I was like, what? How? Like, I'm like, where do I? How does one? Are there fax machines in there? I'm like, so, and I Googled it, and there was like a FedEx, branch or a post office or something like that still offered it as a service. So I was like, okay, and it was like taking a time machine to walk into a place and use a fax machine with a cover page and all this stuff. I'm like, wow, I'm getting flashbacks to 15 years ago or
That's
whatever.
right.
I
My
haven't used
my
it.
office, actually, we did renovations about a year ago, and when they did the renovations, everyone forgot the fact that we had a fax machine that was in use. And
Yeah.
when they redid all the phone jacks and things like that, they changed all the phones to to go through the computers. So there are no phone jacks anymore. And there was just no
Right.
way, then when we finished the renovation, so, someone said, okay, let's hook up the fax. And they couldn't figure out, that no one thought beforehand that, so now we don't have a fax.
Nope.
Yeah. So you have anything else before we get into the script?
Just what do you think the 90s would smell like? If you're gonna wake up and smell the 90s, would it smell like jazzercise, or was that more of an 80s thing?
I don't know, but again, this was early 1990, so in the
Oh,
1990s,
early
so
90s. So we got grunge and gangster rap haven't really taken over yet, right? If we're talking early, no, this is 1990.
no, this is
So this is
1990.
still like any turn of the century year, it's still quasi 80s at this point.
Yeah, I mean, again,
So, yeah.
they started filming this in November 89, so I don't know when this particular scene was filmed, but the idea is, it's very early in the 90s.
I think, well, a big part of this movie is talking about the war on drugs,
Yes.
the war against cocaine. So I'm gonna say 1990 probably still smells a lot like cocaine, not quite as much as 87 or 88, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know, hard to say. Something to think about, listeners. What would the 90s smell like to you? The early 90s. Grunge, I
Yeah.
can picture. Grunge, I can smell a mosh pit. I can smell a
Grunge, you
mosh
have
pit
another
for
year or
sure.
two till that
Yeah,
starts
yeah.
up. Which is
Oh, no.
closer to your area, Seattle, Vancouver, that
Yeah,
area.
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So yeah. The script has a few little changes here. Nothing major, but just a few little things. First of all, John is a little more polite to this rent-a-girl, the budget rent-a-girl, because he says, "Excuse me, honey, can I borrow your office for a minute?"
Yeah, well, that's good.
Again,
At least he asks in the script. That's
that's right.
good.
I'm glad they cut it out. It doesn't matter. And then it
Yeah.
shows in LAPD office. The office he's in shows us that Al Powell has moved up in the world. The Twinkies have moved up along with him. Powell swallowing and answering the phone records, Sergeant Powell.
Records.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So,
That's good. I'm sorry they cut that, because I was just like, what are you now, Powell? Where are
right.
you?
And
What's
it actually
happening?
makes sense then that John will get in touch with him to get
Yeah.
this dossier, Then most of the dialogue is the same. And then he asks Al for the fax number, and Powell goes 550-3212. This is a first. Yeah, well, my wife's company makes them. I figured it's time to get one of them pregnant. I don't know where that's coming from.
What the heck?
That,
I don't
yeah,
even understand that.
that is very strange. Don't know. And then it says the fax starts to leave McLean. Voila. It's already arriving at Powell's office.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pregnant line is just a little strange. I'm very glad they cut that
I'm
out. It would have been
yeah,
nice
that
if they
makes
do mention the
sense.
fact that my wife's company makes them. Okay, that would make sense, but yeah. All right, so every Monday we have a segment called McLean Monday, where my guests will give their top five Bruce Willis performances. So what have you got for us, Duncan? Start with your number five and work your way up.
So number five, I would probably put in Hudson Hawk, because I really, really enjoyed Hudson Hawk and I love it. But I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody that it's a good movie. I'm just saying it's a tremendously fun film. I think it got unfairly maligned because of its ad campaign. The ad campaign was all, if you like Die Hard, you'll love Hudson Hawk. And I was like, nope, no, you won't actually.
That's
You'll
right.
if you like Die Hard, you'll hate Hudson Hawk. They're not remotely the same film.
Well, they have Bruce Willis in them. That's the
They
thing.
do. They do. Technically, they both star the same person. And then number four, I guess, would be The Fifth Element. I'm still to this day go negative. I am a meat popsicle. Once in a while, I love his performance in it. It's like, I know, you daffy bastard, when he's like talking about all that stuff. I Fifth Element's one of those films that takes a turn about halfway through for me, where I was like, nah, I don't really like where this is headed. But the
But
first two
the
thirds,
effects in that movie are unbelievable.
and in the theater,
Yeah.
whoa,
Yeah, I remember seeing it in
holy
theater
cow!
also.
The effects are, they're dated now, but man, when that came out, when Lili jumps off the wall into the flying traffic, it's like the whole theater held their breath. Amazing. Let's see. And then number three, Pulp Fiction, I think, when he's, you know, what was it, Bruno? Yeah, Bruno, the retired boxer who's supposed to take a fall, but he doesn't. And Zed's dead, baby, Zed's dead. And I'm from America, honey. Our names don't mean shit, you know, or whatever.
Is it Bruno? I don't think his name is Bruno.
No, his real life nickname is Bruno. Well, I forget what his fighter's
Butch,
name is.
Butch.
That's
Butch. Right, Butch. I remember that. Oh, good. I'm glad. I didn't have to look that up.
Oh, good. Excellent. Bravo. And then, number two is probably Unbreakable. I really enjoyed him in Unbreakable. I liked his restrained performance in that one. And then number one would have to be The Sixth Sense, which was still a wonderful experience to see in the theater, because I did not. This two movies, Usual Suspects and The Sixth Sense, were two movies where the penny dropped for me when it was supposed to. Like the penny dropped for me when the movie said, "Guess what?" And I was like, "What?" You know, like a good amount of the time, I you know, like a lot of people, I figured these things out beforehand or whatever, but yeah. those were two times where I did not, and I was just like, whoa.
The Usual Suspects, oh, I didn't figure out, but The Sixth Sense I did. I figured out The Sixth Sense halfway through, and I was sitting there watching it with friends, and we were watching two completely different movies, because I already knew the next step.
Yeah, I had an inkling, like when they were at the kid's birthday party and the kid brings out the box with the videotape in it, with the proof of the murder of the child or whatever that's been, you know, given to Haley by the ghost of the dead kid under the bed. No one at the party is asking Bruce Willis, "Is this your kid?" You know, and I was like, how come nobody's talking to him like at all? But that's as far as I got.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't make a further leap. I do a couple other notes here. I just want to say I was shocked to find out that Blind Date was before Moonlighting. Yes. I thought Blind Date was like off the back of the success of Moonlighting. I thought that was like a, hey, you're funny, let's put you in a funny movie.
It came out at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really didn't know that. But I also want to give an honorable mention to The Jackal. There's a man-on-man love scene in The Jackal where Bruce just completely makes out with one of the marks that he later kills, but he's that was a graphic two dudes kissing, which from an action star is and not having it done for laughs, like it's one thing and like, you know, Dude, Where's My Car, when like, you know, Stifler and Ashton Kutcher, you know, make out for laughs or whatever, that's different. This was like a passionate embrace.
Yeah,
you know, and it turns out to be a lie and he kills the guy later, so I guess that's kind of part of what made it possible for an action star to do. But I was like, I thought that was really courageous at the time, because that was a ways back now. So
yeah. Okay. Very cool. All right. So Duncan, you want to tell people where they can find Duncan Shields?
Chronologicallyspeaking.com, or just go to Buy Duncan Shields on Instagram, or you know, the dwindling fires of Facebook or Twitter. And I don't know, just take a look for me and say hi, or, you know, see some of my poetry if you put in Duncan Shields poetry in YouTube, or, you know, whatever. I'm around.
And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. So until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having. Oh, that was really stupid.
That's amazing. Oh my
God. That just like came out. Okay. And finding me is very simple.
'If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here